drop that drop shit, just more, 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 more.
Keep it so solid. I'm my mama.
Just brown. Prince of the Bay. I'ma tell you what's my fantasy. You knocking on my door with a trench coat on. Some sexy underneath. So as soon as you get off of work, no delay, be on your way. I got some weed up on the table and some Henny and a couple bottles turning up and go. Pull your panties to the side, about to get a rise. Out of me, all right, baby, let me come inside. About to get a ride, out of me all night.
Yeah! Let's get that ride out.
We ain't going to the club
tonight. Hey, man, what's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed, also known as King Flex, also known as Tariq Elite. And today's show is brought to you by a brand new book by a brother named Claude Townsend called The United Snakes of Babylon. This book talks about the early African presence here in North America. Very deep book, talks about the Africans who preceded the so-called Native Americans that were here. Very deep book. You can get the book at thebookpatch.com, and you can get the book at amazon.com. You can get it by ebook. You can download it right now. The book is called The United Snakes of Babylon. And the phone number, family, is 818-850-5404. That's the number to call in. We're going to chop up some good game on today's show. But what we're going to do right now, family, is take that real quick commercial break, and we'll be right back right here on Tariq Elite Radio.
Hey, what's up? It's dating and life coach Mr. Locario. Go to badboymembership.com and master the dating game by joining my Bad Boy Membership Program. In this program, you'll receive 45 through 90 minute, easy to follow, step-by-step dating advice tutorials that's guaranteed to help you attract, date, and have sex with beautiful women. Join the Bad Boy Membership today by going to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Listen up, family. If you are a rapper, a singer, a music producer, or a label owner, then you should already know about LegendaryMix.com. That's your one stop for professional-grade online mixing and mastering. Take advantage of their low-cost, high-quality mixdowns and professional mastering right now. Clients rate them as the number one online mixing and mastering service on the net. With over 13 years of experience, you can expect top quality and a quick turnaround time. Visit Legendary Mix online today at LegendaryMix.com or call or text them at 347-565-5892 or email them at LegendaryMix1@gmail.com. You need to grow your business with a website that's designed to get results. Blackline Web Design has custom online solutions at an affordable price with satisfaction guaranteed. Go to blacklinewebdesign.com or give them a call at 470-363-5519. They are creative, they are reliable, and they are black owned. That is blacklinewebdesign.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
Finally, the lecture tour everyone has been waiting for. Join New York Times best-selling author and critically acclaimed producer of the Hidden Colors film series, Tariq Nasheed, live on the More Us Tour. Coming to Miami on Saturday, April 23rd at the Betty T. Ferguson Recreational Complex. Coming to New York City on Monday, April 25th at the Merkin Concert Hall. Coming to Dallas Friday, April 29th at the Hall of State Margaret and Al Hill Auditorium, coming to Houston on Saturday, April 30th at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. This is one lecture tour you don't want to miss. For tickets, go to www.tariqlive.com. That's www.tariqlive.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Oh, we are back right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Ready to chop up some good game. Ready to make it do what it do. I got my dude Taz. He's going to call in today. Let me see if Taz is on the phone now. I'm waiting on Taz to call up. Let me see who this is. Hold on. I got a lot of people calling. I want to get into my man's call before I get into the game. What's up? Who's calling?
Yo, what's up, man? It's Dave Anderson. What's up, Flex?
What's up, man? This is Dave Anderson. He's using his professional name. This is Dave Anderson, a.k.a. Taz Daddy. That's what we used to call him. How you been,
yes,
man? What's going on with you, man?
Man, I'm over here trying to flow, man. That's it. Just out here trying to make some money and make some things happen for myself. That's all.
Yes, indeed. Now, you got a new book out, right?
Absolutely. It's called Pitch, Close, Upsell, Repeat, man. And it's absolutely going crazy. Number one in three countries. I just came off the Breakfast Club, you know, been doing a lot of touring. So life is good, man. I got zero complaints right now.
Now, what's the name of the book again?
It's called Pitch, Close, Upsell, Repeat.
Pitch, Close, Upsell, and Repeat. Now, what's the book about?
It's basically talking about tapping into your inner salesperson. It's just spitting game in a business realm, understanding how to approach people, when to know what objections are real and which ones are phony, how to just take your situation to the next level.
There you go. Cool. Now, how long did it take you to write the book?
It took me about 3 months to write the book, but I took 6 years just doing research. You know, I sold everything from home security systems to gutters. Like, I really wanted to find out, you know, what salespeople did well and what they did wrong. And then if my entertainment energy could really impact, you know, a sales environment. And it does, like, amazingly. People don't buy products, they buy you.
Right.
You know, so if you're coming with a crisp mouthpiece, it's a wrap. Everybody and their mother will give you what they can, give you their money. Hard body, man. It's not a game out here.
Yes, indeed. Now, we had you on the show some years back, and I used to be on your show. And you disappeared, brother. Where'd you go? What happened? We thought you got kidnapped. We thought that they took you down to a commune in South America. We didn't know what happened to you. You just disappeared from all the players. Man, what happened?
No, I rented the same hotel in South Africa Dave Chappelle hit out at. what happened was, you know, I had been through a very, very messy divorce. And, you know, like, my savings got wiped out. I got blackballed from the radio industry. So I really had to pull myself up out of homelessness, man. So you really find out what you're made of, you know, at that point. And a lot of it was like, you know, I was so, like, out of it and embarrassed at all that was going on to me. Like, I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
You know, so I got myself together. You know, I dusted myself off. You know, I dropped some weight because I had ballooned at almost 600 pounds. Like,
oh,
just
wow.
Eating my feelings. Yeah, it was ridiculous. So I dropped like 300, and then I just started working, and then, you know, I got with my wife, man, we have our kids, you know, I'm making moves, man, so life is good, man, but I had to get myself together, because I wasn't going to be good bringing that depression, whack, woe is me energy around anybody.
Absolutely. Man, we're proud of you, man. That's what's up, man. That's what I love to hear. Now, where can people get the book, Tess?
Man, the book is available absolutely everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, man. It's also, you can go to my website, businessbullyshow.com. You can get that. You can also subscribe to my show. So, you know, keep supporting the book, man. It's definitely a good look.
No doubt, man. Hey, man, thanks a lot for calling up, Taz, all right?
All right, I appreciate you, brother. Talk to you soon.
No doubt. That's the player, Taz, promoting this book. He's an old friend of the show. Taz has even been on the road with us. That's the old school homie from Philly. That's the homie from Philly. But let me look. Hidden Colors 4, that's coming. We're looking at May 19th as a release date, either May 19th or May 26th. We're working with the theaters now. We're about to find out. We'll find out in a couple of days. But we're looking at May 19th or May 26th for the release of Hidden Colors 4. I'm corresponding with the theaters now. and getting all that together. So it's happening in May. Hidden Colors 4 is phenomenal. It's basically complete. We just got to do some tweaking on the sound. Just make sure that's crisp. You know, I like to make sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. And it's going to be in theaters nationwide. Let me tell you some of the cities it's going to be in definitely. It's going to be in Los Angeles. It's going to be in New York. Going to be in St. Louis. Going to be in the Bay around San Francisco, Berkeley. It's going to be in, where else? Philly, Detroit. And I get you guys the list of all the other cities. Now, all of my promoters, because last time when we released Hidden Colors 3, we worked with local promoters outside of some of those major, major cities. Some of you promoters, if you guys want to have a screening in your city, y'all email me. Let's politic. Let's chop up game. Because a lot of promoters, man, I helped those guys make a lot of money when we did Hidden Colors 3. Because this is a guaranteed sellout event. And some of you guys know your cities better than I do. You know the theaters in your cities better than I do. So you guys send me an email. Let's chop it up. And I'm talking about some serious business, people. Don't email me with some a half-assed question, then a bunch of questions about something else. Because that's what happens when it comes to doing business. A lot of times cats will come in the door pretending to be about some business, but then they'll just use that as an excuse to just get some attention. They'll say, hey, Tariq, I want to book you for a lecture. How much is it? I tell them the price. Okay, cool. So I'm dating this girl, right? And I'm trying to figure out how to, you know, let's stick to business. If you contact me about that, be about business. I don't want to get in no idle chatter, no small talk. I'm real funny style when it comes to business. When it's business time, I don't do all that small time bickering and chattering and talking about this, that, and the third. I like to talk about business. A, B, C, D, execute. A, B, C, D, execute. So my email is info@TariqElite.com. And if you can't reach me there, email me at kflex4life@yahoo.com. And that's the number 4. kflex4life@yahoo.com. But Hidden Colors 4 is a beast, man. And there's a lot of people have been asking me about some of these kind of, I won't say knockoff Hidden Colors. I don't want to disparage anybody's work, but there's a lot of people coming out with Hidden Colors style films. And a lot of people are asking me about them because they think that is me. That's how close to Hidden Colors a lot of these other films are. And I'm not knocking them. I'm not knocking them at all. Flattery is the best compliment. But there are some films out here. There's quite a few that are direct knockoffs or replicas of Hidden Colors, the whole Hidden Colors series. Some of these documentaries, they've gotten literally all the people from Hidden Colors and put them in. I'm not knocking you, but I'm just letting people know that you'll know if it's mine or not. You'll know if it's mine or not. Not knocking anybody. Not knocking anybody at all. Not knocking anybody. I'm just saying, you'll know when my work is out there. You'll know because I'll let you know. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Shout out to everybody for supporting the Morus site that we're working on. Morus.com. That's Morus.com. We have an Indiegogo page for Morus. And hold on. We have an Indiegogo page. Okay, hold on. Wait. Hold on, wait. I hate when your phone is connected to your damn computer and you mute your phone and then your damn computer start ringing. But like I was saying about the Morus website, we have an Indiegogo page for it. And we're almost at, let me see where we are right now, because we have a few days left for people to go to morus.com and support the page. We're almost at 50,000. We got 5 days left. Let's get that thing up. If you contributed, contribute again. Let's get that thing over the top so we can make the Morus app pop off. But we got 5 days, and let me shout out and thank everybody who have already contributed contributed to the site. Let me shout out everybody who's already contributed to the site. I honor you and I thank you for that. And let's get this thing over the top. And also shout out to everybody who came to the Coon Train Awards this weekend. We had an absolute blast at the Coon Train Awards this weekend. We're going to have the Coon Train Awards posted up with better audio. There was a problem with the audio feed going into Ustream, and I'm waiting on the venue to send me all the footage with the corrected audio so I can put that up on YouTube and you'll get to see it and really enjoy it. It was a great show. It was successful. We had a great time. The comedians were hilarious. Zoe Williams was great. Hope was great too, even though a lot of people were going at her because he was soft-shoeing a little bit, but my man Freeze Love was great. So the event was wonderful and I cannot wait to do it again. And the great thing is, a lot of black folks on that stage involved, everybody got paid, everybody was happy, everybody did real good business, and that's what I like. I like doing good business with melanoid people. And speaking of melanoid people, I need some writers and editors for melanoidnation.org. I need some experienced people, some sisters out there, especially the sisters, because a lot of sisters are very, very thorough. I need some writers and editors for melanoidnation.org. Y'all email me again, kflex4life@yahoo.com. Let me see who else we got on the phone, because there's a lot of stuff I want to talk about on today's show. What's up? Who's calling?
Peace. This is Elevation Outlaw from Visit Black Houston.
Hey, man. How you doing, family?
Magnificent. I want to say one thing to you, brother, is that this is actually to the fans. Everybody, y'all need to advertise with Tariq Nasheed. We got some of the best listeners out there. It's going to be money well spent. Stop being so cheap and just want to print flyers off your home computer, pony up that dough, and pay Tariq his bread and get your message out there. My Taste of Black Houston Fair event, it was wonderful, but I had people drive from 2-3 hours away just to come down here because they heard me on your show.
Man,
thank you.
Much respect, man. And I when I come down there, man, I would like for you to take me to some of those spots, too. You dig?
Absolutely. Yes, we can chop it up for sure.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, man. Thank you so much. Go ahead, fam.
I sent you an email about potential doing a think tank at a wine bar.
Okay.
It's a black-owned wine bar. And I want to basically collaborate with you and some other people here locally because we the ones that got to do the work. I mean, you come in here, you galvanize everybody, but you know, we the ones that have boots on the ground, you know, so if everybody can make it out, if something that you approve of, you want to be a part of, I'd love to have you.
We can definitely chop it up, man. Thank you so much for the call, fam.
Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. By the way, today is Thomas Jefferson's birthday. I saw a lot of people talking about that on Twitter. So shout out to Thomas Rape Jefferson. Thomas the Rapist Jefferson. One of the forefathers of white supremacy. I won't say of America, because like Neely Fuller says, the concept of America really doesn't exist. Because people don't live up to the concept that America is supposed to be. Thomas Jefferson is one of the forefathers of white supremacy. Because this bastard's words contradicted each other every step of the way. He was the guy who said that all men were created equal, yet he wrote extensively on how inferior black people were. I mean, he went on and on about how inferior black people were. Go check out Thomas Jefferson's book. He only wrote one full-length book called Notes on the State of Virginia. And in the book, that book, some of the stereotypes that's alive today about black people got started in that book. He was a lot of people try to say the father of white supremacy, but you know, white supremacy goes back a little bit further than that. But he was one of the people who made white supremacy a political and social science and gave it more of a voice. He created some of the code words and the code language and some of the direct ideologies for modern white supremacy. Thomas Jefferson was a piece of work. He was a real piece of work. And not only did he contradict himself with that all people were created human stuff, the dude was a goddamn rapist. The dude was raping an underage black female slave named Sally Hemings. This is very well documented. And what's interesting about him raping Sally Hemings, that the Thomas Jefferson descendants, they had tried to deny this for so long that he had a long time raping of this black female slave, and the descendants of that raping were a part of the family. The white part of the Thomas Jefferson family tried to deny that for decades. And then the black descendants of Sally Hemings and Thomas Jefferson, they had some DNA testing done. They had the family DNA tested and proved that the black descendants are related to the white descendants. So they shut down all of that shit. So they just don't like to talk about it. And then now when they talk about it, because now they can't deny the raping, the blatant rape that Thomas Jefferson indulged in of this slave. So now that they can't deny it because you have DNA proof, they try to make the Thomas Jefferson, Sally Hemings raping seem like some kind of romantic love story. They go out of their damn way to try to make it seem like they had this whirlwind romance. Wasn't no damn romance. They got books trying to talk about the romance. The show Scandal is really about Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings. That's really an updated version of that story. If you look at Scandal, which most of you don't, and I don't myself, but I've seen little bits and pieces where they have referenced Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings. So they go out of their way, these white supremacist liberals in particular, they go out of their way to try to make it seem like it was some kind of consensual romance. You're not having a consensual romance with an underage fucking slave. It's not consensual when she has no option to say no. Thomas Jefferson was a piece of work, man. But I digress. And that's why, speaking of that DNA, that's white supremacists. They do not like DNA. DNA is kryptonite to the white supremacists. They don't like that. When they put that DNA on Thomas Jefferson's family, they were like, oh, shit. That's why with George Washington, because there's some black descendants of George Washington running around here, and they're trying to get the family of George Washington's descendants to submit to a DNA test. They said, hell no. Because the rumors for years that George Washington was dipping up in some slave booty too and had black kids running around here. And they don't want to do that. They don't want to prove that. They're like, no, we ain't about to submit nothing. They were like, can you give us a strand of hair? Like, we'll give you a strand to kiss my ass. We ain't giving you nothing. We about to have these niggas claim our shit. But I digress. But that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about white supremacist liberals. There's a lot of so-called liberals out here who are just as white supremacist as the so-called conservative white supremacists. They're just as racist as all the other ones. Black people are going to have to stop being fooled by the liberal white supremacist. Just because somebody's marching with you somewhere, a lot of the so-called white supremacist liberals, they will go through little symbolic gestures with black people to give the illusion that they're not racist, as long as the symbolic gestures are ineffective. Meaning, they'll march with you. They'll march and walk around with signs with you and say, hands up, don't shoot, hands up, don't shoot. Because at the end of the day, they know that's not effective. They know that's not going to change anything, because at the end of the day, when the march is over, they're going to go home, and then you're going to go back to the hood, back to economic deprivation or wherever you're from. They know that. They will engage in all types of symbolic shit with black people, acting like your friend, They'll even have sex with you. They will even have relationships with you. But when they get out of that bed, they're going to maintain white supremacy. And the number one way they maintain white supremacy is by denying the existence of white supremacy. The minute you deal with a person, especially a so-called white supremacist liberal, who, when talking about white supremacy, the first thing they do is try to make it seem like something that's a part of the distant past, that's a person who's practicing white supremacy on you. They're very well aware of white supremacy today. They're aware of it. And the white liberal supremacists, they're very good at playing dumb. Sometimes they'll even get real dingy with it. And the white supremacists, they're not dumb and they're not dingy. You don't get to maintain a system of total subjugation globally by being dingy. Now, they play dingy. They play dumb, but they're not. And then you have a lot of these so-called activist groups, these liberal groups, these eco groups, these animal rights groups, these humanitarian groups who seem liberal, who seem like they want to save the earth, save the animals, save the orphan babies. But if you just let them do their thing long enough, you'll see their white supremacist agenda. Just like we talked about this in the Hidden Colors films. When you see these liberal white supremacists going over to Africa, oh, we got to help the little Negro babies, they're orphans. Oh, we got to go help them. We got to do the right thing, and the right thing is the human thing. We got to go help those black babies in Darfur and Ethiopia. We got to go help them. And then black people, we eat it up thinking that, oh, these are good people. They're not white supremacists at all. And then you find out they go over there to Africa and they're raping the damn kids, which you see over and over. They go over there, and I just saw a story recently, a bunch of damn African people on the beach with their bodies sewn up and their organs missing. We've been telling y'all that for years. We told y'all that in the Hidden Colors 3, I think. These white supremacist liberals go over there and they got all types of organ trafficking rings. Dude, y'all stop underestimating the white supremacist. Y'all really got to stop underestimating these people. Excuse me. And also, watch out for these animal rights activists and these eco groups. They're all concerned about the trees and the environment and all that stuff. Watch these people. Don't think that these are some bleeding heart liberals. These people work hand in hand with the other white supremacists. They want the earth nice and clean so when the white supremacists take over, they'll have some shit to eat. Ultimately, everything boils down to them maintaining white supremacy. Because they don't have a problem with groups of black people being wiped out, but now they care about the trees being cut down. They're crying over the trees when millions of black people and melanoid people around the world get wiped out. They say nothing. There's a hateful indifference, but they want to go out there and chain themselves to a damn tree. They're master deceivers, and also these animal activists. You let them talk long enough about how they love the animals, oh, we got to save the animals, and then something, they'll do something real slick. They'll try to start comparing injustices to black people to animal injustice. And animal rights organizations like PETA and all of these people, they're good at that. Because what they do, they learn how to get money for themselves by using us as their mascots. We become the animals to them. They always say, well, look at how black people are treated. Well, treating a black person bad, that's just like treating a chicken bad. So give me some money so I can help the chickens. So they'll use us in order to generate funds for themselves. Also, what they'll do, and this is a very slick thing, you got to understand how slick the white supremacists are. with this animal thing that they try to compare us to. And I'm going to get into that because I put up a post the other day about this suspected white supremacist so-called vegan activist who kind of has a history of comparing lynchings of black people to pigs and cows getting hung and slaughtered. They have this little thing where they try to compare the two. They try to compare the two, and they do this by being very slick. They're trying to be very slick and very, very disrespectful by doing this. It's not about the animals. It's about them minimizing the significance of black people being subjugated by saying, okay, they're just like the animals. That's really what they're saying. So therefore, it's okay to mistreat them. Beating them and hurting them, it's really like hurting a pig. So don't trip too hard. That's really what they're saying. They're trying to pretend that they care so much about the animals, but it's really about minimizing black people to animals. And I'm going to play a clip of one of these white supremacist suspect females who's on that dingy, naive, comparing black people to animals bullshit. Let me play this clip real quick while I'm here. Let me give you an example of what I'm saying. And this chick, what's her name? This is a female. Her name is Sorsha. What the hell is her name? Her name is Sorsha something. And she's this so-called vegan activist. But she puts up a lot of posts comparing animals and black people getting lynched to animals. And people call her out. And she's trying to explain herself by going into this whole dingy, naive bullshit. Listen to this.
I'd have seen the recent tweets on Twitter, but if you haven't, you're going to be updated on what's going on. Anyway, I think that it's great that people are against racism, and I love that, because I'm 100% against racism, and I think it's disgusting. But if you're against racism, doesn't that mean that you claim to be against discrimination? Yet, you probably consume animal products, which means that you're not against discrimination. You're only against discrimination when it comes to beings within your own species, which is discrimination right there, because you're against other species because they're not part of your own species. So if you're not vegan, you can't be against discrimination because you are literally discriminating against non-human animals. Just because...
Okay, y'all soaking this stupid shit in, by the way. Y'all soaking this in, and she's being stupid on purpose, okay? Y'all and fellas, miss me. Don't trip on them acting like airheads. They ain't that fucking stupid. That airhead shit, those white supremacist females are real good at that airhead shit. They're real good at playing dumb when it's convenient.
Because a species looks different from your own species does not mean that they have any of a less... Just because another species looks different from your own species does not mean that they have any less of a right to live than you do. Just because they look different than you, just because they sound different than you, just because they communicate differently than you, does not mean that you are above them in any way, shape, or form. Only.
It all started with this tweet. Then this guy randomly responds telling me to shut the fuck up. And then I respond back saying, nope.
Saying eating a cow and drinking their milk is the same exact thing as saying owning black slaves and hanging them. Both statements are not okay. And yes, the second statement was my response to the first statement. I was using it as a comparison.
Okay. Right now she's going into hoe babble. That's what I call. She's going into what I call hoe babble. Hoe babble is when, you know, a hoe gets caught in something and then they just start babbling as a way to distract you. That's hoe babble. So she's engaging in hoe babble right now. And she even said some stuff on Twitter because she put up this tweet of a cow hanging and a black man hanging. And she was talking about people were calling her out on her bullshit. And let me put my music back on. They were talking about rape and, you know, how black people been raped and all this stuff. And she was talking about, well, people they do artificial insemination on cows. And that's like rape. So she's trying to compare artificial insemination to cows to white supremacists raping black people repeatedly. as a policy. So these dingy white supremacist females, they know what they're doing. They're dingy like a fox. They play dumb when it comes to white supremacy, because all that is a deflection away from white supremacy. Instead of saying, hey, we live in a system of white supremacy. Well, if we eat meat, that's species discrimination. So all of us are discriminating against animals. It's that stupid ass shit where they try to deflect from white supremacy. They go out of their way to deflect away from white supremacy. Because my argument, if you guys are so much for injustice, how come you have all of this energy to save the damn pigs, but you totally ignore all the injustices that's happening to black humans? How come you're not challenging white supremacy, doing this to black humans, the way you're challenging people eating a damn animal? Because these people, they go all to the circus, they're protesting at the circus, they're throwing paint on people wearing fur. You got all this energy, so if it's a damn comparison, if black lives are just like animal lives, then how come you ain't fighting for black lives the way you fight for the damn a squirrel or a monkey or gerbil? How come you're not throwing paint on the damn police? So you got to watch these people, man, because what they do, they all assist each other in the system of white supremacy. White supremacy is a group thing. So all white supremacists from all forms of society, they assist each other even through osmosis. Because what they do by minimizing black people to animals when a black person is mistreated, don't punish us because he's just like an animal. That's why we're going through the thing with Akai Gurley and Peter Liang, which the sentencing is happening tomorrow, by the way. They're doing the sentencing for Peter Liang, the Asian cop who killed the brother out there in New York. They're doing the sentencing tomorrow, and I hope all my New York people are going to be up there to see what's going on. Hopefully, it ain't going to be no fuckery, because they might give this dude a slap on the wrist and let him go. They just let another race soldier go in South Carolina who shot a black man unjustly, and they gave the race soldier cop probation. This just happened a couple of days ago. So Peter Liang, this dude might just walk up out of that damn jail free as a bird right now. He might go free tomorrow. He might go free. Because the whole argument was, well, Peter Liang, he killed Akai Gurley, but it was just an accident, so he shouldn't be punished. So by them saying that, well, it was an accident, like, you know, running over a dog. And if somebody runs over a dog, that's bad, but you shouldn't go to jail for running over a dog. That's the argument, basically, that they're using for Kai Gurley. Yeah, it was an accident, but look, he's a nigga, come on. And just like the PETA people said, he's just like an animal, so, yeah. Watch the words, family. You gotta watch the words with these white supremacists. Let me see who's on the phone. We got a lot of folks calling here. Let me chop it up on the phone. What's up, who's calling?
Hey, how you doing? This is Odera from Los Angeles.
What's your name, brother?
Odera.
Odera. All right, yeah. What's on your mind, Odera?
How you doing? I'm just wondering if you're giving out life advice today.
I'm chopping up some other stuff, but I can probably help you. What do you need to know?
Well, I'm a college student. I'm at UC Santa Barbara, and I recently actually got a DUI. And I'm just wondering, like, what do you think is the best option to gain money from that? Because I was thinking about... in terms of over here, there's like a lot of, there's a big party scene. So in terms of doing illegal activities, there's a lot of stuff that I can make money that way. Or I was thinking about making money in terms of, because I coach the basketball team out here and I'm also a referee. So I was just wondering if it's a better option just to try and take out a loan from the bank or just do it more legitimate. Or
now you said you could get into some illegal stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, like what? I mean, you in California, man, the illegal shit ain't popping like it used to out here, man.
Well, I mean, there's like a pretty big drug scene here at my school.
So. Yeah, but still, that you go to school with a lot of white kids?
Yeah,
that's the thing. That's the thing, dude. White and black people make the biggest mistake by trying to follow what your white friends do. See, your white friends can go out there and slang dope and sell a little cocaine here and sell ecstasy pills here, because if the white kid gets caught, he's getting a slap on the wrist. You understand?
Yeah.
If he gets caught, well, they know what he's doing. Even if they arrest him, if they see the dope on him, a lot of times the cop will just take his dope and send him home. The white kids get, there's a whole different rule set for them. So they're about that life. They can do a lot of shit. The minute you do it, dude, they're going to send you down to Wayside Prison for 2 and 3 years, 5 years. Dude, they're throwing the book at black folks for drug sales. We have two sets of laws in this country. We have one law for black folks and the other white supremacist law. And that the law works for both of us, because the law gives white supremacy a pass. That's why so many people are in jail now. We're not in jail because we commit the most crime at all. We're in jail because white supremacists get slaps on the wrist. They don't get put in jail by committing the same crime. And they actually commit more crime. They commit murder and they get to walk. You don't. So don't let those white kids get you into the dope game out there, because you're the one who's going to get caught up. You feel me?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Hold on. Yeah, my black kids out there. Now, I got to really... Somebody said, hang up, this dude is square. Yeah, my black kids, y'all got to chill out trying to follow your white friends, dude. The white supremacists will literally overlook them. They will ignore them to get to you. That's how white supremacy works. I've seen it over and over again. I remember a long time ago, I got pulled over. I was in Hollywood one time, and there were two cars. No. There was a car in front of me, and there was a car in back of me. And in Hollywood at the time, because a lot of people would go cruising on the weekends, and they had signs up saying, at 11 o'clock, you can't make a left. And the streets were congested, and the car in front of me made a left, so I made a left, and then a car behind me made a left. So the cop, there was a cop who turned his lights on. The cop ignored the car in front of me because there was white people in that car. It ignored the car in back of me. There were white people in that car. And they pulled me over. I'm in the middle, and they pulled me over. They totally ignored the other cars that made the same turn, but they pulled me over. And I even asked the cop, I said, dude, why'd you pull me over? There was a car in front of me that made a turn, a car behind me. You ignored the first car and went around the other car to get me. Why would you do that? I confronted him. I was cool about it. I wasn't on no rah-rah shit, but I just asked him in a cool way. And he tried to play it off. Well, you know, you can't get everybody, dude. You know, you can't get everybody. I said, okay, give me my goddamn ticket. White supremacy at work. Just give me my ticket. And just like these Donald Trump rallies, repeatedly you see white people assaulting black people. They're physically assaulting black people right in front of the police, and the police act like they can't see it. And the police end up arresting or escorting the black people out. Black people, we don't get to assault people, especially in front of the cops. We don't get to do that. There's two sets of rules. Because you live in a system of white supremacy. You expect that. Is it bad? Of course it's bad. But you live in a system of white supremacy that's built on injustice. There was a case, we put it on Melanoid Nation recently. This week in Albany, a white boy started hitting this black dude all in the face. The black dude gets taken out. They don't even touch the white dude. This is why so many black people are in jail. White people get away with doing more shit than you, because you live in a system of white supremacy. It's that simple. So black people, stop beating up on yourself when people start talking about crime. Black people say, well, we gotta stop all this crime. Nigga, your melanin is the crime. Everything you do can be criminalized. We don't commit the most crime. White supremacy is the crime of the millennium. And that's another thing about black people. Black people can be co-opted so easily. You know, speaking of white liberals, you know, BuzzFeed. There's a website called BuzzFeed that's supposed to be this white liberal website. They always have black people doing little skits with them. So BuzzFeed put out this video And the video is called Questions. What's the video called? It's called, I'm about to play some of it now, 27 Questions That Black People Have for Black People. Basically, what it is, a bunch of suspected white supremacists wrote these questions and basically had black people ask them. These are nothing but white supremacist stereotypes that they got their little coons and bedwinches to regurgitate for them. Because I saw another video by BuzzFeed with like 10 questions that black people have for whites. And it was some old goofy shit. Well, how come you appropriate our culture? How come when you have a big butt, it's good, but when I have a big butt, it's bad? It's a little silly, little goofy shit. Some shit that you, if you're going to ask that type of question, you need to go in. And I might have to do that following this video. Some real questions that black people have for whites. And as a matter of fact, I think I might do that. And I need anybody who want to participate in that, y'all send me a video or you hit me up and I can give y'all some of the questions to ask, and then we'll make a video out of it of some real questions. Y'all email me if you down to do that. My email, info@tariqelite.com. But let me play this BuzzFeed video of black people asking questions for black people, which is really the white supremacists writing questions, saying shit that they don't want to say publicly, so they get black people to say it for them. See, we got to be very careful because the white supremacists will use this shit against us. But now listen to this.
Hard to be on time. Like, why does 5 to 10 always become 20 to 30? If my dab is on fleek, am I lit?
Why is it a problem if I like anime?
Why do black people look at your shoes before they greet you?
Why are we more likely to engage in the new dance trend than we are to get involved in politics or opening a business?
Okay, now that some of the stuff I can rock with. It started off cool because some of the stuff, okay, these are legitimate questions. And that's how white supremacy is. They'll write some legitimate questions first. Then they'll get to the real shit. The shit that the white supremacists really want to say.
Let watermelon become our thing. Like, everybody should love watermelon.
Why do you get upset when I don't like a black celebrity?
Race aside, some people are just terrible.
Why do we call each other the N-word, but get vehemently upset when a white person uses the N-word?
It drains my soul to hear the word, and I just don't understand how people who have any understanding of history can use that word.
Why is my natural hair, the hair that grows out of my head, seen as a political statement?
Why do we think people with light skin look better than people with dark skin?
Do you really believe that black is beautiful?
Or is that just something you say because it sounds cool?
Why do some black people say that you're pretty for a dark-skinned girl?
When that is said to me, it still makes me feel like the ugliest little black thing.
Why do some black men only date white women?
Why is it okay for black men to date white women, but not okay for a black woman to date outside her race?
Where? That one was very interesting. I'm like, where the fuck is that? Sisters can date outside their race, and they do it all the time. We have a bedwinch epidemic right now. So I don't know where that was coming from.
Why do you protest Black Lives Matter?
And then tear each other down in the next breath.
Why do we say that we don't want to be seen as a monolith, but then try to take people's black cards away for not liking something that's supposedly black?
Well, how do you... We're powerless. So you can't take anything away from another black person. We're living in a system of white supremacy where we're all powerless.
Why are we so quick to support a non-black-owned business, but then hesitate when it's a black-owned business? I
mean, now, that's a legitimate claim. Now, that one's legitimate, because a lot of times when it's a black-owned business, we do act funny style. Now, that's legitimate.
Is there a cutoff time for this whole homophobia thing in the black community?
Okay, that right there is bullshit. I'm tired of people putting that whole homophobia rap on black folks. I'm tired of people putting that whole homophobia bullshit on black folks. And truth be told, a lot of the women in this thing, they have that bedwinch look to them. So that didn't go unnoticed, by the way. But that whole homophobia thing that they try to put on black society, that's a crock of bullshit, man. That's a crock of bullshit. Homophobia is accepted in black society. Don't let them get you twisted like that. There's homophobia in hip hop. There's homophobia in the church. There's homophobia accepted. We don't create anti-gay laws. We don't. It's the North Carolina, they got some anti-gay laws that they're trying to get on the books. Black folks didn't have anything to do with that. The white supremacists are way more homophobic. I really wish they stopped putting that lie on black society.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Why is growing up without a father so common in our race?
Why don't...
Oh, see, they slipped that one in. Well, growing up without a father is because white supremacy. All of the answers to all of these questions, white supremacy. White supremacy took the black fathers out of the home. It's white supremacy. I got the answer for all of that. White supremacy.
We like to confront our mental health issues. Therapy is such a wonderful and magical place.
Well, because of white supremacy, we don't have the money for that.
Why is there a checklist for being black?
Why is being educated considered a white thing?
Bullshit. That's some more white supremacist bullshit right there. I don't know. Black folks don't sit up and say, well, education, that's a white thing. We don't say no shit like that. That's some white supremacist fantasy bullshit. Cornel West is educated. That's not a, we don't look at him as being a white thing. Or Michael Eric Dyson, Dr. James Small, Dr. Kaba. These are educated black people. We don't look at them as being part of a white thing. Dr. Francis Kress Welsing, educated. Neely Fuller, educated. We don't look at that as a white thing. See, that's bullshit.
Why can't I love school and also be black?
Why do I have to be mixed in order to have long hair?
Why do you think well-off black people don't know what it means to be black?
Black isn't only defined by adversity.
Why do some black people say, oh, I have Native American in my family, in order to feel interesting or more valuable than other black people around them?
Why can't we just acknowledge?
Well, let me get on that Native American thing, because a lot of black people, you know, they try to sound exotic with the whole Native American thing. But my thing is, a lot of black people do have Native American in them, but it gets diminished and minimized because they don't want black people laying claims to some of that Indian tribe money. There's a lot of black people who are supposed to get money from being associated with Native American tribes. This goes back to the Treaty of 1866. They don't like to talk about that treaty, but black people, a lot of us are supposed to get money because we were affiliated with some of these Native American tribes. So whenever black people talk about being Native American, it always gets diminished and downplayed. That's something we're going to have to start looking into, because the white supremacists, they're very good at claiming Native American. They not only claim it, they benefit from that shit, because these white supremacists be getting access to that casino money, and they don't have one damn drop of Native American in them. They paid to get on those Indian rolls, those $5 Indians we talked about in Hidden Colors 2. So understand the game.
It's that there are a bunch of different types of black people walking around, and they're all amazing and unique and special in their own way.
We within the black community are so quick to kind of tear each other down and to look towards other races in terms of their success and in terms of what they have, but never want to kind of look into the mirror ourselves.
I love black folks, but that doesn't mean I don't have questions.
Why are we always looking for the discount?
Okay. So that's BuzzFeed with their bullshit. Let me put my ism music on. So that was BuzzFeed with their bullshit. Just reading off a bunch of white supremacist rhetoric. That's all they were doing. Those liberals that they work with. I think they must be some employees up there at BuzzFeed. They always got the token Negroes. They love aligning themselves with their token Negro minions. They do that at TMZ. They put the Negroes up there with them to make it seem like some equal shit, which basically the Negroes have to regurgitate all the white supremacist rhetoric. So don't let them fool you with that. But y'all hit me up, man. We're going to do a video asking some real questions that black people have for white people. Let's do a real video. And all the people that's down, hit me up so we can put that together for real. Not these little softball questions. I got some real questions to ask, and we'll make that shit go viral. Anyway, y'all, let me get up out of here, family. That's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Don't forget to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. Hidden Colors 4 will be in theaters either May 19th or May 26th. That's what we're looking at right now. go to TariqElite.com to get all that fresh gear. We're going to have the new More Rush shirts popping this week. And don't forget to get tickets to join me live on tour. I go on tour next week, as a matter of fact. I'll be in Miami next week. So go to TariqLive.com. All right. Y'all have a good night, a good afternoon. Have a productive day.